For most of us, water is a given. Turn on the tap, and there you go. But not everywhere. Drinking water is getting harder to find in certain places because of a hotter climate. In the last installment of our climate series, Reverse Course, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd takes us to some of the driest places in the country where enterprising people are, pay attention here, they're creating water out of thin air.
Here on the high desert plateau of the Navajo Nation, views of the Red Rock Wilderness stretch on forever.
The thing with no running water and electricity, we resorted to reading books a lot.
Memories of Sheila Emmons' childhood home run deep. She slept on the roof under a canopy of stars in the summer, climbed that pyramid-shaped boulder still visible in the distance.
I remember so many years, like during the hot summers, it was too hot to cook inside. My mom would build a big fire right there, and she used to make her, we used to cook right here in the open fire.
Emmons grew up and moved away, but mom is still here.
So I live here for so many years, since 1964.
Abby Nez is 77 years old. Inside her tiny one-room hogan, there's a wood stove and pictures of her family, but there's still no power, still no water.
I used to go into town and get the water and do everything for myself.
About a third of the people living on the Navajo Nation have no running water, though with a good pair of shoes, you could walk from this spot to Lake Powell and the Colorado River. The Navajo Nation doesn't have a legal right to use that water, and just last week, the tribe lost its case at the Supreme Court, fighting for access to the river.
It's right here. It's not even less than 5 miles, and no running water. And the power line is just right there, not even a mile away, no electricity. And no, there's like no hope right now. And it's sad to see my mom on the daily, sweating, complaining about being so hot. And then she has to haul her own water.
Despite all these challenges, there have been drops of relief.
So that's the pump going?
Yeah.
Outside the hogan, Jerry Williams dodges a pack of dogs to show me two machines. They look like solar panels, but they're called hydro panels. They use power from the sun to suck water vapor out of the air.
I was kind of skeptical when they said, hey, we can pull moisture out of the air, we can make drinking water. And my first thought was, when hell freezes over.
Williams is a local community leader who helped a company, Source Global, and the tribe put these machines into 540 homes on the Navajo Nation. On a sunny day, one hydro panel can produce a little more than a gallon of water.
That eliminates people running to town buying bottled water at the gas stations or at Walmart.
Are you still skeptical?
No, now I see it now.
Abby Nez's family says the technology is a blessing, but it's not flawless. When I visited, one of the dogs had chewed through a wire, and she wasn't getting any water at all. The company says her panels are getting fixed.
The challenges with water have been around for a long time. That only gets worse as you put more people into a place that's getting ever drier.
Cody Friesen is the CEO of Source Global. His company's hydro panels are installed in 52 countries.
Even in dry places.
Even in Arizona, one of the driest places in the country, Friesen says there's more than enough water vapor in the air to use for drinking.
There are 12 quadrillion kilograms of water vapor in the lower part of the atmosphere.
On the planet.
On the planet.
That's quadrillion with a Q.
I mean, that's more than six times all of the Earth's rivers combined at any given time. So you're talking about an atmospheric ocean of water vapor, a resource that's untapped.
When I asked NOAA scientists to check those figures, they explained it this way. If all the water in the sky fell at once, it would cover the entire planet with an inch of rain. No matter how you measure it, tapping all that water in a place like the southwestern United States would help. Decades of drought and overuse have brought the Colorado River to the brink of collapse.
The rights, who's in line to get the water, all of those dynamics were negotiated in a very different world than we live now. And how we move forward when there's lack of confidence in where that water will come from in a year in the future, 10 years in the future and beyond, that's an unsolved problem. You're not going to desalinate your way out of this problem.
So do you see your technology as a solution to the climate crisis?
Not a complete solution to the climate crisis. It is a part of what needs to be a large book of solutions.
To see a different page in that book, I went to another corner of the American West. Just outside of El Paso, Texas, Jack Duran lives in the tiny desert community of Cochran, which is suddenly growing.
It's good to have some new neighbors now.
You live in this very small town, and all of a sudden you've got someone doing construction right next to your house.
Yes. Everywhere is perfectly fine, and then out of nowhere, boom, water, boom, new neighbors too.
After 30 years of waiting, Cochran was finally hooked up to a local water utility in December. Now, along with new neighbors, Duran has a washing machine. He uses a hose to water the trees in his front yard. And a 2,500-gallon tank is just gathering dust behind the house like a forgotten antique. He no longer pays a company $170 a month to come fill it up. Instead, he pays the utility $45. Duran says the day the water flowed for the first time was monumental for his family.
I wanted to help my dad. He's already an older person, so I was like, I don't want to see him having a hard time in the middle of the night or running out of water. I honestly didn't think it was going to happen, but we got the job done.
One thing that you'll see very common and you'll find in Colonia is that people are survivors, and they'll find a way.
Catherine Lucero works with Duran at an organization called Dig Deep. The group estimates that 2 million people in the United States don't have running water at home. Unlike hydro panel technology, Dig Deep tries to bring traditional infrastructure to places like the Navajo Nation and the Colonias of Texas. Cochran is one of many colonias along the Texas-Mexico border that developed decades ago without basic utilities. Many of the residents are poor and Latino, who were promised for years that water was coming. Lucero says local agencies have made progress doing that in recent years, but the cost of connecting some rural communities is still too high.
To this day, we stand at about 20% of people that live in the county that don't have water,
which works out to several thousand people. Lucero says Dig Deep raised $1.2 million for Cochran to bring water to 22 homes.
The mentality many times, whether it's Cochran or another area in Texas that doesn't have water, it's cheaper to move the families, just move them into the city instead of investing in a water project.
Lucero says spending money on permanent infrastructure will secure the future of communities like Cochran. She's aware of new technology like hydro panels, but she says they're a temporary solution. Alex Mayer agrees. He runs the Center for Environmental Resource Management at the University of Texas at El Paso.
A couple of gallons per day, that's not a lot even for one person. And if you have a large family, you know, I guess you could purchase more hydro panels, but it's hard to see that it's a long-term solution.
At the same time, Mayer wishes they were, because he predicts a difficult future in El Paso. As the climate warms, he says demand for water will likely outpace the region's dwindling supply. Local water bills will soar up to 5 times higher than they are now.
That's pretty scary, right? For poorer households that may not have, you know, really consistent income, those bills coming at that time of the month can be a real strain on them to have to pay that off.
But that's exactly why Olga Thomas is thrilled with her new hydro panels that are humming away under the West Texas sky.
So listen to these things.
I'm telling you, it's just amazing with the sun.
Thomas lives in a colonia called Waco Tanks amid the flowering bougainvillea and creosote that she grows in her garden. Late last year, Source Global paid to install 2 panels in her yard. Thomas gets about 3 gallons a day. For her, it's enough to drink and cook with.
Emotionally, there's no stress, simply because I don't have to worry that I gotta go to the store, buy water bottles.
Thomas is 72. For most of her life, she's had to haul water here, and she knows she'll probably never see a utility bring a pipe this far out. She's aware of climate change, and she understands the future is uncertain.
I tell my children, good luck with the water, and let's see if you can do better than we. We tried, because it's very, I don't know, it's just a big problem. It just seems like it's a big problem for them.
You don't think you've you'll see it.
I don't think so. I really don't.
But on this hot morning in June, there's enough fresh water to quench our thirst. Thomas opens the spigot on the side of her hydro panel and hands me a pint.
All right.
Looks crystal clear. Thank you so much.
Yes, it is.
Here we go. It's perfect.
It's amazing.
For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.